Welcome to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. If you would like to participate on today's program, call now, 803-1520. That's 803-1520.
All right, here we go. Think Again. Think Again. Welcome to our topic discussion program, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Western New York, still fighting the war on poverty, now in our 54th year. Each week, we talk to you about issues, events, and trends affecting you right here and right now in Buffalo and the Western New York community, and in fact, connecting to communities all across the country. I'm your host, L. Nathan Hare, President and CEO of the Community Action Organization. Make us a part of your Saturday every Saturday at ESPN 1520 AM on your dial from 11 o'clock to 12 noon each week. Now, today's program is live, as you all know, so you can call in. You can join our discussion. Hope that you will. Our number here again is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. So we got school closings all over the place. We got $2.2 trillion of stimulus money. I can't believe this. I can't wrap my mind around this event. In an odd twist, the stock market actually fell by almost 1,000 points, 915 points, after the vote for this stimulus bill went through. Something doesn't seem quite right about that, but I'll talk about that in just a second. The stimulus bill, there was actually some backlash, you know, from the stimulus bill. You wouldn't think with a bill that had so many goodies in it for so many different people that anybody in any quarter would be upset about it. But there was a representative. His name is Thomas Massie, who indicated that he was going to call a constitutional question. The Constitution does say that you have to have a quorum present, not just a quorum that exists, but a quorum present in order for you to have a vote that would count in either assembly, in either the Senate or in the House of Representatives. And this fellow decided that he was going to force the actual yay or nay, I'm here, I'm not here vote to determine whether or not there was at least, I think it would be 218 House members available for the vote on this stimulus bill. It threatened to slow the process down by several hours, but apparently it only wound up slowing the process down by a minute or two. It was interesting, this Daniel Hamel, writing for the Washington Post, talks about the fact that the Constitution requires both houses to establish a quorum defined as a majority of the members of each of the houses. Any lawmaker can issue a quorum call in her chamber or his chamber, and if a majority is not present, then the chamber cannot enact any legislation until that threshold is met. Under House and Senate rules, only members who are present in person count towards a quorum. So if at least half of the of either chamber is under quarantine or otherwise unavailable to attend a session, the legislative process would come to a grinding halt. And that's what Tom Massie wanted to do. He really just wanted to flatter himself, you know, by making himself appear to be more relevant than he actually is. Now, I don't want to spend so much time on that. I really want us to get our arms around what really is going on here. And there are parts of this stimulus bill that may have the effect of stimulating the economy, but there are other parts of this bill, I think more rather than less, that really will not stimulate the economy per se. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. The reason why the stock market has been crashing is not because there wasn't enough liquidity in the financed area of the economy to be able to create the capital or make capital available to companies either to continue their businesses, expand their businesses, or to start new businesses. That's not what was going on. What was going on is, as a consequence of our national reaction to the corona pandemic by making people stay at home who are not what they refer to as essential workers, and not going to the opera, not going to the movies, not traveling overseas, not buying sneakers, not buying washing machines, and that sort of stuff, by making people not do those kinds of things, then the demand for goods and services has been contracting. As the demand for goods and services contract, if you're the maker of the goods or the service and nobody's buying the goods or the service, then you can't keep paying people to make something that you can't sell. So you end up laying people off. So then you create a down cycle. Because of a downcycling of demand, there then becomes a downcycling of the need for supply to meet the demand. And that's what has caused a depression or recession that we're in right now. It would seem to me, understanding the basic economic physics of what is going on, the best short-term solution that we can get to is one in which we can pump demand up again. So in order to pump demand up again, you have to get this coronavirus under control. To get the coronavirus under control, you got to test just about everybody so that you know where the problem is. Now, let me just help us understand, because I didn't understand why the president was not willing to do the testing. But I guess I understand that he felt that if we all knew that there was a bad situation going on, it would make him look bad. And looking bad is just something he is opposed to. But from a dollar perspective, I went and pulled a supply report that indicated that you could buy one of these test kits for the coronavirus. You can buy a test kit for $25, but you could test 50 different people with one test kit. So that means a test only costs 50 cents a piece. There's 330 million people in the United States. So you can just do the math. That means there's 165 million tests at, let's say it was a dollar a piece. That's 165 million tests. You're telling me that we can afford to put $2.2 trillion in play in a week, but we couldn't afford to put up $165 million to buy tests for the population in the United States? That just doesn't make sense. But that seems to be what restrained us from doing what we needed to be doing initially. But if we do it now and get as many people tested as we can get into the test pool, certainly there are people that are going to refuse to get tested, but try to test as many people as you can, get your arms around that, buy as many and manufacture as many test kits as you can possibly get people tested so you know who has it, you know where it is, you know the geography that it's in, then you can put a perimeter around that geography, contain the spread of the virus. Once you got it contained, then you can mitigate the virus by treating the people that have the virus, helping them to get better, but keeping the virus in the locations where it already is and not let it spread any further. If you do that, then the places where you don't have virus spread, where you've got the virus under control, you can open up those sectors of the economies in those areas again. That would then pump up demand again. When you pump up demand, then supply gets consumed. Then people who produce the supply will hire back the people they had laid off, and the cycle will upscale. It will turn back up again. That in the short run, that's something that can happen in the next 4 or 5 months. It's going to take 2 or 3 years for what we're doing now to actually have the effect on the economy. And we're probably not done with spending a lot of money, you know, hundreds of billions, maybe more trillions of dollars on this issue. So I wanted to kind of get this thesis out here and see what people's reaction is, because I know that everybody feels real great about the fact that you got unemployment insurance, that they're going to, if you're only getting $100 worth of unemployment insurance benefit, they're going to add $600 on top of that $100. You're going to end up with, what would that be, $700 a week. Yes, yes. So you're going to wind up with a person who was making less than $20,000 a year would end up being on an income scale that would be paced out to $35,000 a year. this is really out there. So listen, I got four calls on the line right now. I want to try to get these calls underway. Let me get Tony first, then we'll grab John. We'll maybe then get to our break and then get Jerry and then Al. Let me get Tony first. Tony, how are you doing out there?
I'm just trying to stay healthy. That's all I can say.
That's all you can do right now.
Yeah, every appointment I've had, especially the dental clinics, they've all been canceled for sometime in late April.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm in trouble with trying to eat.
Wow.
Well, that's because half of the job was done and then it stopped.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is personally attacking me, my system. But I agree with you totally on everything you said. But I have to point out this: we are rewarding incompetence.
Yes.
How do we reward incompetence?
Yes.
I mean, we've known about this coronavirus since the end of December and January 2nd in our country. I think the first case
the first case in the United States was on January 20th. The same day that South Korea reported their first confirmed case. Those reports came out within 40 minutes of each other. South Korea was testing within 3 or 4 days. They were testing over 10,000 people a day. By the end of February of this year, we hadn't tested 12 or 13,000 people yet.
Yes, exactly. But here's the point. Had this president not decided in the middle of 2018 to eliminate the pandemic unit in the White House, we would have been on top of the situation earlier.
Absolutely.
Why in the world is his personal approval rating going up?
Because people want to believe that this president is competent. And so as soon as he says something that actually is true, you know, like a broke clock tells the correct time twice a day, as soon as he says something that's actually true, everybody jumps on the fact that he said something that was true, and they ignore the fact that he had said so many things that were untrue just 2 seconds earlier. That's what's going on here.
Well, what's happening, too, is simply the media is actually helping him to win
Absolutely.
The 2020 election.
Just like they helped him win the 2016 election, doing the same thing.
He's getting all of this free publicity out there every single day.
Right.
No matter how many times he lied at the beginning, they just keep putting him out there to read something. Have you noticed the way he breathes down into the microphone? It's the same thing that happened in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yep.
I don't know what that's called, but he certainly is doing the same thing. Now, the person I would give credit to is Governor Cuomo. He's been saying for weeks that you have to take and regionalize this disease.
Right.
Wherever you need the medical gowns, et cetera, you bring them to that area, and you keep being able to do that. Now, how about the, what do they call those things you put in your incubators?
The ventilators.
The ventilators.
Right.
We don't have enough of those to go around. I mean, Cuomo actually has been the only one telling the truth from the beginning. Do you think he's been telling the truth from the beginning?
Cuomo has been, Cuomo can be such a strident kind of a person. He can be hard to listen to, but he's telling you the truth.
That's right.
At least the truth is he understands it. He's telling you the truth.
Yes, because somebody gave it, and then when there's time for, all this stuff between Fauci and the president's group, et cetera, there's been this discord from the beginning. No wonder this country's going to go on for at least another 2 years with this pandemic. I don't know why. I have to ask you, where have you gotten the idea that you could buy a test kit for $25?
I actually went online to find out what the test kits cost.
Yeah.
I don't have the report in front of me, but the company that I first pulled up, they said the test kits cost $24.95 and that you could test 50 people with one test kit.
Yeah, and how would you get this test kit?
Oh, that you'd have to get from the manufacturer who I got this information from.
See, I'm not doubting what they advertise. All I can tell you is that from my listening to this stuff for weeks, the cost has been inflated because of the greed of people to
Well,
get
yeah,
it.
That's true. When I pulled this report down, that was like 2 weeks ago, right? So
yeah.
I'm not talking about the gouger prices. I'm just saying that's what the normal. But even if the gouger price went to $200 for a kit, you could still test 50 people with a single kit. So even if it costs you $4 per person, I'm saying that should have been done immediately, January 20th, when you had the first.
Yes.
In fact, not just then, when we were doing this stuff, the people in China were getting this in November. We should have started getting the test kits and the protocols together then and started determining how we get the testing done then.
Yeah, but remember, our wonderful president said, we don't need these kits because this is all going to go away. There'll be a miracle intercession here by some God that he doesn't believe in anyway.
Yep. So listen.
It's going to be this miracle. It's all going to go away. Now look at what the miracle has brought us.
Exactly. It's brought us 100,000 people that are sick and almost 2,000 that are dead. Tony, I got to run. I got to get more calls. Let me take our first break first. And then I want to grab, I think it's John. Okay, thank you. So if you all stick with us, we will send us out of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
Credit Karma can help you make financial progress by giving you free scores, reports, and monitoring. But Credit Karma does not give you the love that only a mother can. It's just an app.
I miss my mom.
But you can use Credit Karma to help you improve your credit. But it cannot solve the eternal question surrounding the human condition.
Oh, come on, I need answers.
But signing up is free. No credit card needed. Just download the Credit Karma app now.
Oh, there's my answer.
Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
He learned to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school championship. So you need to patch those bare spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
That's almost appropriate, right? Let me get John on real quick, and then I think we'll grab Jerry. We'll kind of roll down from there. We got five calls on, so we got to just take a few minutes per call. John, how are you doing out there?
Good, Nathan. You know, this Trump's tax cut is basically dissolved with the stock market collapse.
Yep.
And, you know, he's doing all these cost reductions. Well, he's actually done them before this crisis, where he reduced financing and staffing for CDC, FDA, EPA, all of them. And the biggest mistake that he made was to get rid of the...
The Office of Pandemic Control.
Yes, that was dissolved in May of 2018 by him.
Yep.
And it was set up to handle this type of crisis. And you know, he said that he inherited a mess when it's not true at all. Because
right.
Obama did great with the N1, H1, and the Ebola crises.
Right.
Both,
right.
He had two of them, not
right.
one. And
exactly.
I don't even remember them,
right.
to be honest with you.
Because
anyway.
He kept them from spreading inside the United States. Obama
yes.
sent 3,000 American troops to the Congo to blunt the spread of the Ebola crisis in the Congo and keep it from getting outside of the Congo into the United States. He sent troops over there to get that done. What has President
right.
Trump done? He dismantled the ability of the country to plan for and organize for the possibility of a pandemic. And then when the pandemic, the initial indications of a pandemic arose, instead of getting in front of it, getting the people who know how to do it and let them get in front of it, he's running around here faking about miracles and magic and vanishing acts, you know, and just... left-wing hoax. Remember, it was a hoax
right,
just 2 weeks ago.
It's not just these agencies he's cutting. He promised that if he got elected again, he's going to cut Social Security,
yeah.
Social Security disability, Medicare, Medicaid, lunch programs. Goes right down the line of the middle class, and he's done nothing for the middle class.
Yeah.
No health care, no infrastructure,
yeah.
no wealth, nothing to address the wealth gap.
Well, now he's going to say. Now he's going to say that this
childcare, minimum wage, none of that.
Yeah. Now he's going to say yeah. that the enhanced unemployment and the checks, the $1,200 checks, that's what he's doing for the middle class. That you should be thankful for that.
Right. And he also, you know, what he's doing with this Federal Power Defense Production Act is exactly what Republicans have done in the past. He's doing what Hoover did. Hoover thought that he could handle the crisis through private businesses, private
right,
companies.
Right.
It was FDR that came in and he had the government. You need the government in a situation like this.
That was Larry Kudlow's science that, you know, the private sector will, you know, will heal the pandemic. Kudlow
yeah,
should
belongs right there with Hoover.
Right, he should be arrested. He should be arrested for saying something like that.
Right.
You're
right.
endangering
the
public.
Putting this idea. He's the one that's putting this idea into Trump's head about Easter Sunday, you know?
Yep. yep. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, man. Talk to you next week. Let's grab, Jerry in West Seneca. Jerry, how are you doing out there?
I'm doing good, Nathan. How are you doing?
All right. Good to hear from you. I hope you're not sick in your house. Everybody's okay.
Yeah, everybody's okay here, Nathan.
All right. So.
Okay, I'm going to put a little... I'm going to put a little different spin on this, something that nobody is really talking about, where these deadly viruses originate from. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've always been heavily into environment and animal rights and things, so I've been studying these things for like 10 years now. So I'm gonna try to explain to you that to the people out there that almost all these deadly viruses, if not all of them, originate in factory farms, slaughterhouses, filthy conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in fact, they don't even talk about where the original coronavirus originated in China and what they call live wildlife markets. Filthy,
right.
Horrible, painful, filthy conditions. This is where the coronavirus originated. Okay, since then they had shut down these places, but it's a little bit too late now. So what I'm saying is, what the media, what the government doesn't talk to people about, that it's because of people eating a lot of meat. And this is where, and I don't care what the virus is, it could be E. coli, could be Ebola, SCARS, the bird flu.
MERS, right.
They all originate mm-hmm. in filthy conditions, crowded factory farms, slaughterhouses, and this is how they get out. And they're going to get worse if people don't change. You see, people have to change. I'm sorry to say it, but I talk to people all the time about changing their eating habits.
Yep.
There's only about 5% of vegetarians and vegans in the U.S. right now. That's pathetic. And about 1.5% of them are vegans.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't change our ways, these pandemics are going to get a whole lot deadlier and a whole lot worse. I mean,
you're right. They get into the foodstuffs for the animals, and then You get bats. You know, we keep moving into areas that we didn't used to live in. So every time we do that, whatever was living in that area before, it tries to live in the same space that we're living in. So now you got bat poop in places you didn't get that before. Bat urine in places you didn't get that before. Birds are scavengers, so they eat that stuff, and then you eat the birds. And so that stuff gets into your food cycle.
Yeah, in fact, in 2007, the American Journal of Public Health said that the raising and slaughtering of animals is going to be our next genocide, next deadly pandemic virus to come out. And there's been all kinds of studies by the universities and PETA studies, and it says that they say the same thing, Nathan. The author of the bird flu book, Michael Greger, he said that factory farming and the slaughterhouses are a perfect storm for these infectious diseases.
We have to rethink how we live. At the end of the day, this is us. These viruses have existed when Adam and Eve weren't even children yet. These viruses were already here. It's us. We keep putting ourselves in a position where this stuff can get into us. We have to take ourselves out of that position.
I know. And I tell people all the time, I says, you know, you complain about these really bad things that are happening, but look in the mirror and say to yourself, what am I doing to make it worse? Yeah. And I talk to people all the time, I says, just try not to eat as much meat
And make sure whatever you eat comes from clean sources. I mean, there are ways to do this. If it costs you an extra dollar a pound, then it costs you an extra dollar a pound. It's that or get sick, okay? It's one or the other. Jerry, I got to run. I got to get more calls in. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. Let me grab, is it Kevin in Pendleton or Al? Let me grab Al in Buffalo, then we'll get Kevin in Pendleton. Al, how you doing out there?
I'm hanging in there.
All right. You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. But I think the White House is a ghost town of scientific expertise here. You know, a pandemic the pandemic emergency response team, the office that was part of the National Security Council was completely eliminated in 2018.
Just 70 or 80 of the top scientists in the entire world. Why have them available, you know?
Right. Luciana Boreal, who was a part of that team, urged the government to act now to prevent an American epidemic, and specifically to work with the private sector to develop fast, easy diagnostic tests.
Look at what's going on right now. As much as we know right now, we are still saying to people, if you have some symptoms, you call the health department, then the health department listens to you and they say, well, that doesn't sound that bad. Just stay quarantined. You don't need to get a test. We want to reserve the test for the most vulnerable populations. We should be testing everybody who can be tested, who is willing to allow us to test them, in every geography where we have found this coronavirus, and try to put a perimeter around this every place that we can, then contain it within that perimeter and then mitigate it. But we are not approaching this thing like we're waging war against something. You know?
And this is where we got to thank the media, because the media has been debunking all the false, misleading stuff that this administration has been putting forth. And when people hear things coming out of this man's mouth, they take it verbatim as truth, you know? And what people have to understand is the media has always been the media. You can like them or not like them, but there is, and I told you about this, there is yellow journalism, and then there's reliable sources.
Right.
People have to realize what is a reliable source. Don't just Google the first thing and then copy and paste it and think that that's, that you're doing a, some kind of a good thing there,
Right.
I mean, we have to cross-reference, articles. We have to,
You have to check the source.
Even if
it's Stormfront or someplace like that.
Some unknown source, you got to question it. Like if it's the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, Associated Press or the Daily Beast, pretty much in the middle of America, Even the Washington Times.
Even if, no matter what newspaper it is, internally, Where is the newspaper getting its information from? They're not the sources of the information. They're the reporters of the information.
Yeah, but those sources are the reliable sources. That's
my point. So you go, if it was from the National Institute of Health, if it's from the Center for Disease Control, if it's from, you know, Weights and Measures or whatever, you go to the people whose job it is to count this stuff, who are public servants. That's the deep state that Donald Trump keeps dissing.
Yeah, that deep state that Donald Trump keeps trying to, you know, delegitimize
that's
the
exactly
traditional
right.
news, okay?
That's right. But we have to resist that.
Right, we can question some news sources and say, you know, maybe the writer embellished just a little bit, but for the most part, they have ethics in journalism. The
right.
editor is very, very strict when it comes to, you know, if somebody's going to do an op-ed.
They're going to make sure that they can document to you, here's where I got this information from. Now, if where I got the information from was wrong, you have a right to challenge that. But at least you'll know where I got it from.
For a legitimate news organization, yep. if anybody gets caught putting forth a bogus news article or in the editor lets it go to press, that more than likely they're going to get fired because
yep.
I mean but Fox News doesn't have any ethics in journalism.
Exactly.
I mean,
yellow journalism is what they do. That's their business.
Yellow journalism,
right.
Walter Cronkite would be, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, you remember Tim Russert? I mean,
absolutely. Russ would be hitting somebody on the head.
Oh,
listen,
my God.
Al, I got to run. I got to get more
okay.
calls in.
Right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, man. Let's get Kevin in Pendleton, then we'll take our break. And Kevin's going to tell me about how he feels about
all
this.
Right.
This
all right. Here,
this
here
left,
we
this
let
left
me,
wing.
Let me make my 3 points.
This left wing. That's what you said about this left wing hoax.
You have the excuse of the break. You have the excuse of the
break. Right, come on. Sure. Stop whining.
Okay.
Just tell me now.
Okay. I am whining. No, first, again, we're talking about reliable sources. I realize I realize something here. Like last week when you mentioned about, you know, the elected representatives in the Senate and in the House who sold their who sold their shares.
Right.
Which definitely
Loeffler and Burr.
Yeah, there you go again. Why didn't you say Feinstein? She stands up.
I did say Feinstein
but,
last week.
Yeah, no. Someone had to correct you and mention that to you. Go back and check your tape.
Okay,
right?
But I still said it.
Yeah, right. And then you don't have a bias, right? Okay, do you have a bias? No, I guess not, huh? Sure. Anyway, let me ask
what's
you
what's your point? The point is that
but
they did it.
The point is they did it. They did it. Yeah, exactly. But you see.
So your attitude is not about the fact that they did it. Your attitude is the fact when I remembered who it was that did it, I didn't remember Dianne Feinstein. That's the issue. Not that these representatives inside traitors. That's not the issue.
But
it's the fact that I didn't mention Feinstein.
But the fact is that you did not. Quickly.
Okay, so write that down in your gotcha book, Kevin. Kevin, write it on a top line in your gotcha book. Say Nate Hare didn't mention Dianne Feinstein. So now you got that one. Okay, good.
Now another thing too. You know something? These folks with this stimulus, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna hand your check. You're gonna give a check back when you get it, right? Are you going to give your check back when you get it?
Because I'm not even going to get a check, so I'm not going to have a check to
get
back.
Oh, nope. That's right. Oh, yeah, I forget. You're part of the 1%ers. That's right. You don't.
I'm not the part
of
1%, but
yes,
I may not
anyway.
Be a part of the 1%, but I'm not going to get
point
a check.
Point number three. You see, point number three here, right? And the thing about it, I thought this is what unemployment was for. I mean, now the so-called fiscal conservatives.
See, again, Kevin, you do what you always do. You keep coming up with your spin. You throw your spin. Because you're not speaking to what I said. I told you in this program, I told you that the issue that is facing the country is a significant drop in demand. In order for you to cure the drop in demand, you have to cure what's causing the drop in demand. That means you have to get out in front of this virus, contain it, and then mitigate it and lower the virus. So that's what I said from the get-go. Just throwing money out at people and then telling people to stay at home is not going to increase. It's not going to increase demand.
I agree with you, and that is
well. Then why didn't you say you agree with me from the get-go? Why do you keep telling me about what somebody else said? I didn't say what the other people said.
No, you see, that's the thing, because it starts spinning on me before I even say something, and you're talking about other people, you know, spinning. But yeah, I agree with you. Throw the money out, right, at us, and then, my God, what is inside of that bill? And the things that is not battling this virus.
Absolutely. And I'm going to talk more about that, you know, today and as we go forward. I'm all the way on that. I just want to ask you real quickly before you leave me, you know, our president, Mr. Donald J. Trump, said that just 2 weeks ago that this whole thing was a hoax. It was a Democratic hoax to undermine his election. Do you still think it's a hoax?
I never said it was a hoax. Did I say it was a hoax? No. And furthermore, the folks who researched this, right, Amira Snopes, who you like to quote sometimes too, right?
Yeah.
They said he never said that it's a hoax.
That is absolute. Whoever said that to you is lying because I actually heard him say it. I didn't get this from somebody. I heard him on television during the course of a press conference. He actually said it. He said the words himself. He didn't say it once. He was at a rally.
Yeah.
And he said the words himself. This is not something that somebody made up. This is something that is on the record.
I agree with you that some Trump says the most stupid things that drive me up a wall. Now, this is a fact. I mean, I agree with you. But listen, if he did say that, that is the most stupid thing he could say. I'm on top of that, too. He is doing this just like your Democrat counterparts, right? And they're just seeing how what they can do to stop whatever in November. That's what I pray down to.
What has that got to do with the coronavirus? The coronavirus happened by itself. It had nothing to do with Donald Trump. Not a single Democrat has ever said Donald Trump caused the coronavirus. That lie has been being told and is still being told this minute by so-called conservatives and Republicans around this country. That is a bold-faced lie. You cannot find one single Democrat on the record who said that Donald Trump caused the coronavirus. What Donald Trump did was failed to prepare for or address effectively the fact that the virus was on its way and then it's here. That's the problem. It's not that he caused the problem. It's that he's done such a poor job of leading us through this problem. That's the issue. Nothing else. And that is an absolute fact. That has nothing to do with anybody's opinion. It's not a Republican opinion. It's not a Democratic opinion. That is simply the facts. All right. Sorry, Kevin. Let's take our last break, and then I think it's Frank. Yeah, okay, thank you. All right, Matt will sort it out. We'll see you inside of the break here and Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
It's 3 p.m. For 50 million kids across America, school's out. And for a third of these kids, they're out on their own. Out with nothing to do and nowhere to go. Gives a whole new meaning to the 3 o'clock bell, doesn't it? It's time to support the Boys and Girls Clubs. Visit greatfutures.org.
During a time of great uncertainty, it's more important than ever that Western New Yorkers stay connected. ESPN 1520 is committed to ensuring that you stay connected with the latest information and updates on how COVID-19 is impacting our community. Whether you're at home, at work, in the car, or online, stay connected with local news, updates, and information. ESPN 1520 is helping Western New York stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
And this is their new hoax. But, you know, we did something that's been pretty amazing. We're 15 people in this massive country. And because of the fact that we went early, we could have had a lot more than that. We will do everything in our power to keep the infection and those carrying the infection from entering our country. We have no choice. Whether it's the virus that we're talking about or many other public health threats, the Democrat policy of open borders is a direct threat to the health and well-being of all Americans. Now, you see it with the coronavirus. You see it. I also created a White House virus task force. It's a big thing, a virus task force. I requested $2.5 billion to ensure we have the resources we need. And so far, we have lost nobody.
That is classic Donald Trump. And, of course, you heard Kevin say that he heard from whatever sources that he hears from that the statement that Donald Trump, that was March 1st, that Donald Trump had referred to this as a Democratic hoax. Now you've heard it on tape that Donald Trump referred to this as a Democratic hoax. So please stop saying things that are not sourced. Don't just take stuff that comes from, you know, Heckle and Jekyll websites. But I want to get to our callers because we got five calls we got to get in and we only got about 15 minutes. Let me get Ron. Is it Ron? Frank? I'm sorry. Frank first. Then we'll get Ron. Then we'll get other John. Ah, boy. Then we'll get it done, right? Yep. Okay. So help me out here. I got Frank first. There we go. Frank, how you doing out there?
Oh, things are so backwards, crazy. I wanted to get my mind off things. So I spent last night watching the Netflix series Ozark.
Oh, I never saw that.
But the opening line is, money is a measure of a man's choices, and it got me all worked up again.
That's the last thing he needed to say to you, right?
No, you know, I just can't believe that Trump's approval polling went up for his handling of the coronavirus pandemic.
Yep.
You know, just because, Nathan, just because he promised some bailout crumbs for the working class.
Yep.
You know?
They see those checks coming and his polling numbers went up right away.
Yeah. He screwed up the response to the virus so bad over the last few months. It's costing thousands of lives.
Yep.
You know, let grandmas die, and it's surely going to ruin the Trump name and legacy. But, excuse me, here's a press release from a real news organization, the Young Turks.
Yep.
President Trump's reelection campaign sent cease and desist letters to local television stations on Wednesday, threatening them with legal action and potentially their broadcast licenses if they continue to air the ad from Democratic group Priorities USA. The ad plays audio of Trump downplaying the COVID-19 pandemic over a chart of the mounting number of cases in the U.S. And so, you know,
how is that even? Why isn't somebody being charged with some kind of constitutional violation there? How is it that the Trump administration can order news medias not to play things that are at least factual, unless he can claim that they're not factual, that they can't publish factual information? How can he do that?
It's his own voice on the audio. How can it not be? You can't deny your own voice.
Exactly.
But, you know, Nathan, if the red flags don't go up in your mind when Trump says, I don't take responsibility at all, then, you know, you're actually too stupid to vote. You know, just take out the bailout cash and live with your hypocrisy. And you know, hey, all you Rambo Jims out there, you're going to take your socialist handout from Chairman Trump Jong-un, you bleeping commies? You know, I mean, if I get my stimulus money from the foreclosure king Steve Mnuchin, I'm splitting donations to your radio show organization and the good nuns at the local Heart and Soul Kitchen. You know, feeding and caring for the large homeless population is truly following in the footsteps of the Christ. But because society has sickened my sense of humor, I'm saving a crisp new $100 bill. I'm going to wipe my butt with it and send it back to Mnuchin with a note telling him not to spend it on drugs.
All right. We're going to end this one right there. Thanks, Frank. I appreciate you, man. Let's get Ron in Cheektowaga. Ron, how are you doing out there?
Well, other than the fact that I was held up, not too bad, I guess. Anyway, but the thing about this this whole thing, this may be Trump's reelection campaign. Frank touched on it, and basically his poll rating is up as high as it's ever been now. I guess because people think he's acting presidential and they don't care about the fact that for 2 months he ignored the situation when they might have stopped it, or the fact that he disbanded
it. Just what I said. All Trump has to do is say one actual rational thing, and people just ignore all of the other stuff that he said before then.
I cannot understand what people are thinking what by giving him this approval. Now, I didn't hear this thing that Frank just brought up about he's suing the media outlets that run pro-democratic ads that criticize his handling of it.
Right. There's a website organization that actually is pushing an ad that takes tapes of Trump saying dumb things.
Right. I've seen that ad, but I didn't realize that they're trying to sue them.
Right.
Trump suing, or
right. he's threatening to take their licenses. Where does the authority come from him to do that?
I know, especially since back was it several years ago, Fox News was allowed to lie. The Supreme Court upheld the idea that they could make false statements.
Yep.
I can't remember the exact case, but I remember there was a big headline. I can picture it.
But that was considered to be within the bridge of free speech. It was free speech. Right.
All these people are doing is putting up little clips of Trump's speeches that say, you know, it's a hoax, or I'm not responsible, and attacking the news media over the reporting. One other thing here. I know you got a limited time. Yep. One other thing, you have, excuse me, you have this $2.2 trillion that he's going to spend. What happened to the deficit hawks?
Exactly.
I mean, they'll wait till he gets reelected, and then they'll want to cut everything.
I'm telling you, spring of next year, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are under assault.
Well, I know. And the thing about it is this $2.2 trillion is worth roughly $400 billion in 1933 dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You realize the first year that to get us out of the Depression, that Roosevelt spent a little less than $100 billion in that first year?
Yep.
I guess it just shows that Republicans will do anything to get reelected, even if it violates everything they've been preaching for the past 60 years.
Because what they've been preaching and what they believe are two different things. As long as money goes into the hands of the fat cats and the large capitalists, they're okay. Yep. All right. Let me grab Other John, get his thoughts. Other John, how you doing out there?
Pretty well, Nathan. Pretty well.
All right.
Hey, a couple of weeks ago, you had somebody on, I think it was Curly, who was advocating for chloroquine?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
A couple in Arizona tried that.
The malaria drug, right.
Right. A couple in Arizona tried it, and the guy died within 30 minutes.
Yep.
And his wife was deathly ill, and she came out and said, don't believe anything Trump ever says.
And you know when he said that Trump was going to give 10,000 doses of this stuff to Mario Cuomo to distribute, you know, in New York City, Andrew Cuomo, that's not true. At the time that this was occurring, there were only 10,000 people, and that was only a rough number, who had the coronavirus in the first place. Not that there were 10,000 doses that they were going to be giving to people. This is, again, where people are taking shards of things that are true, making up something that's not true, and projecting it out on the internet, spreading things that are actually false statements. That just isn't true. And just as you just said, the drug that they were talking about hadn't passed clinical trials. And what we've seen so far is that it may have been slightly effective in terms of reducing symptoms with some people, but other people died from taking this drug.
But you know what that drug is actually used for?
What's that?
Cleaning fish tanks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, I want you to put your tinfoil hat on right now.
Okay.
You have to ask yourself, qui bono, who benefits? You've got Europe down, you've got China down, you've got the United States down. Who's left?
Russia and China.
Well,
China's down, so it's really Russia who's benefiting.
Right. Now, Russia had 1,200 cases.
Yeah.
And, of course, you have to have a few cases, otherwise somebody would smell a rat.
Mm-hmm.
New York City has 26,000 cases.
40,000 now.
Oh, 40,000 now? 40,000. I haven't looked since yesterday.
But. It's way off the charts.
But now take a look at, do you know what a level 4 biological lab is?
No.
Well, look up Plum Island sometime. It's right outside New York City, which is a hell of a place for a biological lab. There are very few level 4 labs where they actually design this type of weapon, biological weapons.
Biological weapons, yep.
Yep. But and Trump is perfectly capable of doing absolutely nothing, okay, which is what makes it work.
Yep. And then he'll spend billions of our dollars buying some biological weapons that we don't, as a public, don't even know that we're buying and putting ourselves in danger. You're completely right. Let me rock on. I appreciate you, man. Let me get Rambo Jim on in North Tonawanda. Rambo, how you doing out there?
Good. Nathan, I thought you'd like to, maybe you'd want to talk to somebody that actually graduated from NBC school. You know what that stands for, right?
No.
Nuclear Biological Chemical Warfare School.
Okay.
I graduated from
that. So does
school.
That help us with week when you told me that there were 10,000 doses of this malaria virus that was given by Trump to Andrew Cuomo?
All I know is that, what Andrew Cuomo said as of last two.
I'm just telling you, I did the research. That's just not true.
Andrew Cuomo said at his press conference, I heard him on the radio say, as of last Tuesday, this Tuesday passed, that they were going to start using that hydroxychloroquine.
They did say that they were
good. CPAC, I think, used with it. And now some of the doctors are also including zinc and massive injections of vitamin C with the first two that I mentioned. However, now let me tell you what the instructor said. Now, keep in mind, when I went through NBC school, Bush the first was president of the United States. And the instructor, who happened to be a minority guy, he gave a doomsday scenario.
What does his being a minority have to do? What does his being a minority have to do with it?
I graduated from the school.
What does a guy being a minority have to do with what
you... We're not prejudiced.
You had nothing to do with the decision of him being there or not.
Can I tell you about the school?
Okay, well, then tell me about that. Don't tell me about the minority stuff.
Now, the doomsday scenario that the instructor gave, he said, and I quote, he said, somebody is going to get a hold of some biological agent sometime in the future, he said, and he's going to be stupid enough and dumb enough and ignorant enough to think, oh, well, we can control this. We got this. Don't worry about it. Here it is, the year 2020, and now look what we got. He said that somebody would do something stupid with a biological weapon. And by some strange coincidence, Hunan province, which is ground zero for this disease, has a biological warfare laboratory. Is it level 4? That I don't know. But I'm telling you, this is awfully coincidental. And the instructor said that at sometime in the future, he said something like this would happen.
Rambo, just so we're clear, people have been talking about scenarios where people who are in these labs all over the world, somebody could steal a biological weapon and manufacture it and use it to hold people hostage or whatever they do with that kind of technology. That's not something that was just done in 2001. That's been going on since forever. So I don't know what the big story is, you know, about that. The point is, the main point is that the drug that they're talking about and the combination of drugs they're talking about, those are at very experimental stages. They are not. They have not gone through clinical trials. They're not giving this to any wide population of people yet.
They're giving it to the people that are dying.
Again, so but they're not 10,000 people. They're not giving 10,000 doses to New Yorkers and so on. We're just not there yet. And you said that Donald Trump and Andrew Cuomo were kissing cousins now. That's not true. Donald Trump has been dogging Andrew Cuomo for the past 6 days because Andrew Cuomo had the gall to say that sending us 3,000 or 4,000 ventilators and we need 40,000 ventilators is a slap in the face. We need more effort in the places where the problem
That's happening. He ordered Ford.
He's been ordering and saying that he's ordering and having stuff is going to be available in 2 or 3 days. He's been saying that for 3 weeks, and not a single thing that he has said has come about.
He said yesterday. I think he said it was they're going to start actually production April 6th. So by the end of the month, he said we're going to be producing enough.
I'm glad you're satisfied with that. But he should have been doing that January 20th. He's had much time,
Nathan,
to get ready to do right.
If he had enough sense to shut down air travel from China, we wouldn't have a country right now.
Okay. All right. I got to run, Rambo. I got two more calls I got to get on, and I only got about 6 minutes. Let me get Donnie. How you doing out there, Donnie?
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
I have a question here. The people in this country, why are we so relaxed? We have this fight between the Republicans and Democrats, and I have a little military background in the Air Force, but this thing about they attack FEMA,
right.
Anything to help the people, they want to dismantle it. Then we have this problem here. This thing about this listeria and stuff, people have been taking ocean-going ships for hundreds of years. They had sickness in those days, but now we can't even take a cruise and a ship. Everybody comes down sick, and no one knows anything about it, and no one can stop it. Our food, and like I said, the hygiene of our food is worse now than it was in the 70s.
Yep.
And it seems like everything's casual. And it comes down to, all I can see is big money, and they don't care.
This is laissez-faire business. We're back where we were in Tammany Hall in the 1920s. When people were just letting businesses run as wild as they buck wild, no regulations, no controls, no accountability. And then when things fall apart, it's usually the Democrats that have to put things back together. And that's the situation that we're finding ourselves in now. They actually put a rescue plan together and didn't even have a single Democrat in the room to sign the bill because the Republicans were taking credit for something that they fought. And they're taking credit for it, right? So that's where we are right now.
Yeah, that's
true. All right, man. They got that noise on. That means I won't be able to grab John. So, okay. John, I'm sorry, man. I'll try to grab you next week. We're just in that space here. Listen, folks, we got a lot of stuff in front of us, but it's only going to work if we're willing to work together. We got to put all of the fronting and, you know, how we diss each other and try to positioning ourselves politically against each other. We have to let that stuff go. We have a problem that can only be solved if we work together to keep ourselves from spreading the problem. Let's do right and stop doing wrong and get ourselves under our own control. We can defeat this thing if we're willing to work together. Well, thank you all for all of your support and listening to us. We look forward to talking to you all next week here at Think Again. Think Again.
You've been listening to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. Be sure to tune in again next week at this same time for more Think Again.